Now, a couple of weeks ago, we brought you a story that has, well, so many happy outcomes, it couldn't be contained in just one episode. It concerns the food that the mainstream economy regards as waste because of its use-by date or perhaps a blemish on it or because it's oversupplied. Now, normally that food, thousands of tons of veggies and fruit and meat and poultry, goes into the bin and then into landfill. Well, enter food rescuer FareShare. For 14 years, FareShare has been collecting and cooking that food into meals for people in need across southeastern Australia. In the second part of this story, in Melbourne, Michael McKenzie introduces you to some more of the people involved as workers and volunteers and recipients.
I was just singing your praises.
Were you?
Oh, FareShare, magnificent.
This is for the ABC. I'm doing a story on FareShare.
Oh, the timing is
774, John Fine.
The other one. RN, Radio National.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm just a Batman courier, but I just, FareShare, they're just magnificent.
Yeah?
Yeah.
This will be on Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah. Yeah. Between 9 and 10 in the morning.
Between 9 and 10.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, have a good day.
You too.
I'm sitting in the FareShare collection van, and that's the kind of unsolicited goodwill this food charity seems to evoke in people.
So are we heading back to the FareShare kitchens now?
No, we're heading to Abbotsford. There's a Woolworths store there.
Next to me is retired engineer turned volunteer driver, Barry Gidding.
I was there yesterday and got quite a bit, so I'd be interested to see how much they got today.
So it's a lucky dip.
Yeah, yes. And it really depends on how much their customers have bought.
Yeah. So not that I'm advocating this in any way, shape or form, but the less we buy at the front of the store, the more might be there for the needy at the back.
That's right, yeah.
And this is the place this waste food goes after being sorted. Into the bustling FareShare kitchen where it's sliced and diced, it's chopped, it's roasted, it's boiled, and in some cases, liquefied, which is what that sound is behind me.
The vast majority of our daytime volunteers are probably retired or semi-retired. My name's Rosemary Kelly. I'm the manager of volunteer programs here at FareShare in Abbotsford. At the end of the shift, they can actually physically count how many meals they have made or count how many vegetable tubs they've filled or how many bags of wet mix meals they have created. And
just explain what a wet mix meal
is. Casserole meal, pastas and curries and soups, those kinds of meals. They can actually, if they're packing those, they can actually count how many meals they've actually packed ready for distribution.
We have had mornings where we've worn fancy sunglasses and looked pretty gorgeous chopping the onions.
So a little bit of crying.
The crying can be quite a lot, but this morning it was fine. I'm Marg Carney and I've been working here for a couple of years and I come in on a Monday morning to help chop and prepare food. I've really, really enjoyed it. I enjoy the garden on a Wednesday morning.
And so you do the kitchen on Monday and the garden.
The garden on a Wednesday morning.
Just tell people about the garden.
Well, the garden has been set up on some land that's owned by the railways and it was only started about 2.5 years ago. And really, if you go there and look, it's just a wonder what has been transformed. They've laid down plastic because the land is contaminated. So they started with that and then built up garden beds and they produce, or we produce, quite a substantial amount of vegetables.
Right, here we are. Abbotsford, FareShare Kitchen Garden.
Lucy Farmer lives up to her name by helping out at the FareShare vegetable garden. Got it.
Here we go. Okay. Right.
She's also the charity's communications director. And Lucy leads me into the fenced-off wasteland next to the train line on the outskirts of Melbourne that's been transformed into a food bowl for the Fair Share kitchen.
All right, if we wander down, on our right, you can see zucchini. The next plot is an interesting one. This is sweet potato, not known to be grown in cooler, temperate climes. A healthier ingredient than ordinary potatoes, low GI, popular with the chefs. So we've given it another go. And as you can see,
it's gone nuts.
Completely carpeted a large area. On the left here, you can see we've got capsicum. We make 2,000 or 3,000 pastries a day, so very useful for a lot of things, for our curries, for our casseroles, but particularly our quiches. We have something very divine here on our right. You can probably recognise what these are, Michael.
Oh, look at these. Beautiful eggplant. They are drop-dead gorgeous.
They are. They're beautiful. They look like they're probably another week away. You'll see a lot of those in the kitchen in the coming weeks.
This is Michael from the ABC. Hello.
Hi, Michael. My name's Rosalie.
Good day, Rosalie. How are you?
I'm not too bad. And yourself?
Oh, not too bad. Looks like you had a fantastic meal.
I've had a fantastic meal. Yeah, definitely.
What was...
And I've been sent home with some extras so the kids can have some lunch tomorrow.
So yeah. I take it you're a regular comer to this table?
Well, yes, I am. I'm a single mother, two children, one with Coffin-Lowry syndrome, so he has, you know, a lot of needs. And so when I saw this across the road, it was almost as like divine intervention, really, because for me to be able to have the time to actually cook and prepare food, let alone the financial difficulties as well, there's been a couple of years of my life where I literally wouldn't see anyone, basically being so isolated, given having a child with disabilities, doing university myself and raising another child as a single mother. So just to be able to come here, I mean, I'm better now in terms of my mental capacity, but as of a year ago when I started coming, it was, I maybe wouldn't have talked to anyone or interacted with anyone, but to sit and to eat with other people.
And to talk as you eat.
And to, you know, to talk, or just even to be sharing and eating at the same time, to be amongst others. And also the fact that the food is being given is such a lovely transaction and such a lovely energy transaction to be a part of. It's human, yeah.
Well, your son seems to want some more bread.
Yeah, well, we're trying to get off the bread because he seems to have a bit of a carb addiction going on.
Tell me about it, boys of that age.
Yeah, so we've got to keep that away from him. He'll literally probably just eat the whole loaf. But yeah, look, little things like this, little extras, I mean, there's enough.
There's
always enough somehow. Yeah, always enough.
Lovely to talk to you.
Yeah, you as well.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
Have you met anyone at the other end of what you make who has directly benefited from the food that you might have prepared?
I don't think I've met someone who has received food aid from Fair Share, but I think if you walk around Melbourne, you can tell that there's a lot of people that need help. Hi, I'm Remus, and I volunteer at Fair Share fortnightly on Mondays. Yeah.
Remus, how old are you?
I'm 25 this year. And I'm doing an honours program in philosophy at University of Melbourne. Yeah.
So can I ask, Remus, does your direct experience at Fair Share inform how you write in your honours thesis?
Definitely. I think it's interesting because when I started writing my thesis, I'm not exactly sure about the direction that I'm trying to work towards. But then I think like through my volunteer experience here at Fair Share, one of the crucial arguments that I'm making in my thesis is that if persons are inherently free, then we have a duty to ensure that the freedom of other people is met as well. So this can include, I guess, like poverty alleviation, gender equality, sexual equality, and so on. So
Food security.
Yeah, definitely food security.
The beauty of the model is that we can capture chicken, say, two parts of chicken might come in and it's got a day left on it, but in 2 months' time, a family up Mildura that's fallen on hard times is able to safely, nutritiously, you know, enjoy that food that we've been able to preserve. My name's Marcus Godinho, I'm the CEO of Fair Share. We've got 7,000 people coming through volunteering a year. It was really touching last year. We had a woman come through with one of the corporate groups. Every day we have 1 to 3 different corporate groups come down and help out on the tools. And a woman quietly said that her family a few years ago had really struggled and they'd received fair share meals. And now she finished her degree, was in the workforce, and she was coming along and helping make those meals that another family that's doing it tough will enjoy.
Tell us about the Department of Justice and how it is you're working with them.
The Department of Justice approached us and said, look, we could provide you with volunteers. And we said, do you respect, we're fine. And they had a problem. They had a lack of well-run, meaningful community activities to take people who were on community service and need to clock up a certain number of hours that the courts had given them. I said, well, is your kitchen running all the time? Technically not on Friday evenings, on Saturday afternoons and on Sundays. And they said, well, if you've got surplus food, could we pay to run those shifts? And then you could take that food, we'll provide the people, you can cook meals, and then you can distribute them out to people. So anyway, look, we gave it a shot, and people came along, and you know, they didn't choose to be here. They weren't like the Tuesday morning or the Thursday afternoon shifts where volunteers together and really excited. These people had to be down here and knock off 100 hours of community service that the magistrate had given them. They did one shift, they did two shifts, they come down third shift, and what we found was that they really actually found fulfilment in it, and they knew what to do. They came down, they got on with it. And so we had people then, once they completed their hours, registering to become regular volunteers. We had people going away and introducing us to businesses they knew that had surplus food. So it was really an unexpected benefit of this program for us, and really heartwarming that people who had done something bad in society had actually been involved in a program that then brought out good in them.
There's a lot of people that want to work here, and
you know they can't get in because of people like you.
Exactly.
You never leave.
Well, they make it so good that, yes, I'm not about to leave, so they'll have to ask me to move on.
I don't think that's going to happen. Marg, lovely to talk to you.
Thank you very much, Marg.
The place everyone loves volunteering at, whether it was their choice in the first place or having to fulfil a community service order. Fair Share makes 25,000 meals a week in Victoria, and later in the year it's expanding into Queensland. Michael McKenzie, nice story.
Thank you. And it's good to know that while there's a backlog of volunteers who want to work at Fair Share but have to wait their time, they do need income. $40,000 a week is how much it takes to keep Fair Share in operation. And in Queensland, they will be taking on new people. So think about that. And if you'd like to know more, just head to the Life Matters webpage. I've got some photos and links up there.